From Indian Mounds Wilderness to Davis Mountains State Park and South Padre Island to the Golden Spread. When Texans learn what's happening, it's From Pratt on Texas. Get ready. Here comes Robert Pratt.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis, all done without a donor or management-controlled leash or muzzle. Our Lone Star story of the day, as if illegal immigration in the millions now isn't enough of a problem, Texas Democrats want Texas colleges and universities to hand out, quote, financial aid, end quote, to children of illegals. What insolent and shameless audacity these Dems demonstrate. Create a more reliable and safer workplace with a drug or alcohol testing program from Allied Compliance Services. Visit AlliedCompliance.com or phone 800-411-6906. Allied Compliance Services sponsors our Lone Star Story of the Day. And we have that and other border news in the Lone Star Story of the Day. Lieutenant Governor Patrick has released the interim charges for the Senate interim committees that will shape the next legislative session in the Senate. We'll go over that. We've got more on our statewide May 4th election in counties of over 75,000, which is a lot of you out there, for three members now elected to an appraisal district board of directors. Now, this isn't the board of appraisals. It's a new board of directors for the appraisal district that then appoints members of the appraisal boards. We talked about it yesterday. I want to talk about it a little bit more. This is something you've never seen on the ballot. It's a they're nonpartisan. And after this initial election, in a year or two or whatever, I'll go over that, but these go on the November election every year. This is the constituting election. And there's changes for the taxing entities too. I mean, the new size of the boards of directors and all that kind of stuff. So we'll get into that as well, because there are people out campaigning. And the fact that Bexar County Republican Party down in San Antonio is sending out a lot of emails to their list. I get their emails. And they send out a lot. They're sending out ads for the people running. It's a nonpartisan office, and I guess, you know, they want people to know who are friendly to the Republicans or willing to go buy an ad. But this is a big thing. It's not a city election. It's not a school district, school board election, but it's on the May 4th ballot for all the folks who are in counties of 75,000 or more. Lot of news to get to. Listen to Pratt on Texas anywhere, anytime on demand, whenever it fits your schedule. Get a recording of today's show and other podcast extra interviews at prattontexas.com. Don't forget, if you're in Lubbock or you want to listen to 987radio.com, anytime to the stream of our Lubbock affiliate, the show repeats the next weekday morning. So you can hear today's show, Friday the 12th of April, on Monday morning, 6 to 7 a.m. and on the air in the Lubbock area on Walk with Faith Radio. All right, my friends, this was believed to be an intentional criminal act in Brenham today, and more than a dozen people were injured after a truck, big, you know, 18-wheeler with a load behind it, because it was an open load. You could see it in photographs. It had a lot of weight there, so a lot of mass. Apparently, allegedly, intentionally crashed into the front of the Department of Public Safety office, the DPS office in Brenham today. It happened this morning. This 18-wheeler was being pursued by a law enforcement agency. The driver was arrested. This is Washington County, Texas. And they think the truck was stolen in Chapel Hill and that the driver drove into the DPS office on purpose because his commercial driver's license was denied there yesterday. So there you go again. And Fox News in their write-up, I've read this in like seven sources. I just happened to notice Fox News again used the plural for a singular, their driver's license, morons. Ambulance crashes into Houston restaurant, two taken to hospital. Fox 26 tells us it was a private ambulance. It was going southbound on South Gesner. It stopped, crossed over, struck the building, and flipped. Firefighters had to extricate two people from the cab of the ambulance. Driver was reported to be in critical condition, and the medic sustained a broken arm. No other injuries, thankfully. That happened at 10:30 last night in Houston. Allen ISD teacher's been accused of inappropriate interactions with student. That's all they'll tell us, and that the person's on indefinite leave. That reported in the Texas Scorecard. In the Lubbock area in Lubbock County, New Deal ISD says a teacher's on leave for, quote, educator misconduct, end quote, and that law enforcement's investigating. No other details are known. Middle school teacher accused of sexually abusing 14-year-old student. Texarkana Today tells us it was a 26-year-old woman who was a reading teacher in an area middle school charged with multiple felonies for sex abuse of a 14-year-old male student. Kaija J.V. Muldrew allegedly met a student from a reading class in the middle school at her home and drove the boy to an area business in 2023, late last year, and she allegedly molested the boy in her car on several occasions last year at two businesses in Texarkana. Sick. Shooting reported at Dallas ISD's Wilmer Hutchins High School this morning. It happened inside G Building near the football field house. Suspect was taken into custody running toward the football field. The injured student's expected to be okay. So one student was injured. The suspect arrested around 11:30 there. By the way, it's illegal for that student to have a firearm. It's illegal to have it on the deal and all that. So why does gun control not work? Because precisely, if you're willing to go commit murder or commit some kind of serious felonious crime, you don't care that there's some stupid rule out there. Live artillery shell was found buried in a backyard in Duncanville. Man was digging in his backyard, found a missile-shaped object, possibly an explosive. Well, they got the police there, the bomb squad, and everybody found out it was a live artillery shell, so they've called the U.S. Air Force Explosive Ordnance Disposal to take possession of the ordnance. Munster becomes the hometown of Senator Drew Springer, becomes the 52nd sanctuary city for the unborn city in Texas. Congratulations to them. Memorial Hermann, the big, big hospital system down in Harris County, big making national news. A doctor there accused of secretly blocking liver transplants. Houston Landing reports allegations a Houston surgeon was secretly altering patient information in a government database to make some of his own patients ineligible. Not eligible, but ineligible for transplants at Memorial Hermann, Texas Medical Center. Hospital last week announced that it's suspending its liver transplant program, which is a big one there. And the feds have said they're investigating this irregularities pertaining to donor acceptance criteria. This week, Memorial Hermann also suspended its kidney transplant program. The New York Times has identified the surgeon as Dr. J. Steve Binnon Jr., a nationally regarded transplant surgeon there at Memorial Hermann, Texas Medical Center. And the doctor, Ronaldo Ortiz, we've reported on this story before, who was accused of tampering with IV bags, injecting dangerous drugs into them at Baylor Scott & White Surgicare in North Dallas, and it resulted in deaths. A fellow doctor died from one of these IV bags. 11 cardiac patients suffered cardiac emergencies. He's been on trial this last week and this week, and men and women, good and true, returned a guilty verdict on 10 times, all 10 counts. Dr. Ronaldo Ortiz in North Dallas, guilty of injecting dangerous drugs into IV bags at Baylor Scott & White in North Dallas. Baker Hughes is out with the oil and gas rig count. Texas gained a lot last week. This week, Texas lost 3. We're down to 294. And that's where it stands. We slid 3 rig counts. Congressman Tony Gonzalez was addressing the FBI director in Washington, and he talked about, according to KOSA, he talked about oil thefts in the Permian. And the FBI director said they've got increasing problems in Winkler County, Kermit, all these places. And the FBI director says, oh, we have a task force on it and all that. So apparently oil theft, a big problem now.
Keep that six shooter at your side. Fret on Texas. We'll be right back after this.
As incredible as it may sound, you can have great fun and create wonderful memories while going to the dentist. Our official dentist, Dr. Sylvia Zuniga, provides the highest level of service and quality possible in beautiful Costa Rica, a world center for dentistry. It's also a world center for tourism, from volcanoes and rainforests to Atlantic and Pacific side beaches. For top dental service technology and amazingly affordable prices, click the DentoCare banner at PrattOnTexas.com. Having your teeth fixed and beautiful can be affordable and even fun.
Why does keeping up with the news have to be so hard? It's like sorting through a mountain of garbage. We're here to change all that. 21st Century Watch magazine. It's quarterly, conservative, and completely free. Call 903-561-7070 or go to 21stcenturywatch.com. We'll never sell your information. Cancel anytime. Call 903-561-7070 or go to 21stcenturywatch.com for your free subscription.
The Lubbock Sportsman's Club is a leading promoter of wildlife conservation, outdoor education, and hunter advocacy across West Texas. If you want to help Lubbock Sportsman's Club achieve its mission to conserve wildlife and wilderness lands, to educate youth and the general public, and to promote and protect the rights and interests of hunters in the West Texas area and worldwide, you're invited to take part by simply coming to the club's meetings. Learn more about the great work done for conservation and hunting at lubbocksportsman.com and listen here for chapter meeting announcements.
He thinks prairie dogs should be kept around for economic development. Hunting is big business. Now more Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. Senator Betancourt pointing out that the property tax reductions passed by the legislature has helped Texas to rise to sixth in ALEC's State's Economic Outlook Rating. That's the American Legislative Exchange Council's Rich States, Poor States Guide. And it had Texas leaping up the rankings to sixth, and Betancourt says that's a testament to a solid, continually growing economy and legislative leadership like Lieutenant Governor Patrick had, committing to economic freedom and the record property tax reduction. Isn't it funny how Lubbock County, their appraisal district, decided all of a sudden that this is the time, since there was this big property tax reduction and people are going to get a break anyway and probably won't notice, that now's the time we're going to suddenly rejigger all the, not the building values, but the land values. I've already heard from people that said their house value was fine, everything, but the land values just suddenly in some old neighborhood just went up. And I've read one local story on that, but the reporters didn't really get any kind of real answers. And this is exactly why we're moving towards this idea of having public members, a board of directors that hires the chief appraiser, that now has elected people from the community, from the county, on that board. It comes from Senate Bill 2, not from the regular session of the 88th legislature, but the second called session, or what we all call special sessions of the legislature. It was a big Betancourt bill and others. It's the big school property tax bill. So if you look at the description of that, all you're going to see is a reference to administration. You're not going to really see until you read it, and you have to get to Chapter 5 of Senate Bill 2. And I read that whole thing and tried to look at as many of the references to other laws that I could that it has. And I think I've got a pretty big, a decent handle on this. But I can't tell you everything. As we talked about yesterday in sort of a frustrated interview with my friend John Bruegel, who's running for place one on the new appraisal board in Lubbock County, we don't really, I mean, there's just no settled law. How are there, what's the extent of the board of directors' authority? Now, we do know that they are not the appraisal board that adjusts appraisal. The board of, what do they call that? Like an appraisal board of adjustment or something? I can't remember. I've read so much this week. The stuff all goes together in my head. And when you elect these people, what they will do, though, in this new board of directors for an appraisal district is they will hire, I believe that it said they are responsible for hiring and firing the chief appraiser, so that's fairly normal for a board of directors, the effective CEO of an appraisal district. And remember, appraisal districts are basically cooperatives created by taxing entities. They don't have to. I mean, a county can still do its own and do all that, and some do. Some hospital districts do. But a lot of times they join together and create an appraisal district over an area, and they're member governments. Well, they've been run forever, including hiring of the chief appraiser, by the appointees of the taxing entities whose interest is to do nothing but get more money all the time. And then lie to you and tell you, well, your taxes went up because appraisals went up, which, of course, that's completely untrue because you set a new tax rate in each entity every single year, and the baseline is revenue neutral. So that even if appraisals went up 15% across the board, the new figure you use, the effective rate, is revenue neutral. It would be, okay, then we start from this. The rate would have to, you calculate it after the appraisals are done. Okay, if we adopt that rate, the government entity would receive no more money from existing property, not new property, but existing property taxed in the previous year would get no more money from that than they did the year before. You understand? Obviously, a lot of people still can't understand that. The appraisals do not raise the property tax values. It's the tax rate set by in aggregate across the border. I mean, you know, if one person got a real big raise, that's different. But in aggregate, it's only the tax rate. Now, those boards, the management of those, it's just been the people that want your tax money appoint everybody to it. Well, here's how there's been changes for counties under 75,000 too. The bill modified the composition and appointment of appraisal review boards and appraisal districts in counties under 75,000. So if you live in a county under 75,000, you need to find out about this because there are going to be different things, but you're not electing people. In counties of 75,000 or more, Senate Bill 2 added Section 6.0301 to the tax code. And what it does is you'll have a appraisal district will be governed by a board of directors of nine. And it will be five from the various taxing entities that are in the county. Five directors are to be appointed by taxing units. Three are elected by majority vote. Now, in the future, those will be on the November ballot. But this is the get ready for it. It takes effect in July, I think, this year. This is the ramp up. So we're electing in the quickest election cycle they could get to after passing the bill. And that's this uniform election date on Saturday in May. The county tax assessor collector will be on that board, but will be an ex officio director, meaning non-voting. These are nonpartisan races. There's a place one, place two, and place three in every county that's 75,000 and over. They are at-large elections, meaning they're not districts. Everybody in the county will vote on candidate in place one, two, and three. I think in Lubbock, place one has two people running. Place two has only one, so Jim Bax is going to be elected in my home county. And then in place three, I believe there's a three-way race, is what John Brugel told me yesterday. Most of us haven't heard much about this. A lot of candidates trying to skirt through and not, media seems is not really aware this is going on. I've seen a handful of places where the media has figured it out, local media, and they're starting to cover it. Now, so you'll have a nine-member board. It'll have three people on it. And say, well, okay, we've been wanting elected people forever. Remember, though, it's not the board that does the appraisal valuations that you go and appeal to. This board of directors, though, will hire those people. They will appoint people to the appraisal board. So, okay, if it's 5-3, Robert, what good's this do the taxpayers? I read through all this, and I mentioned it yesterday. I was running out of time. The fulcrum of power, where that lever goes, where you get the taxpayers get their power, very clever. The board of directors appoints members of the appraisal review boards by majority vote, right? Okay, well, still, it's 5-3, Robert. The taxpayer, tax suckers are going to get all their... No. Anyone appointed by majority vote must have the support of a majority of the three elected officials. Meaning, no matter who they want, if they can't get two of the elected people on these boards of directors to support them, it doesn't matter if they have all five of the taxing entities' votes, they can't get them on the appraisal review board. There'll be appraisal review board members will be appointed by this body, but they will require a majority of two of the elected members to support them in that majority vote. That's the fulcrum of power. That's where the power comes in. Now, these members of the board of directors will not be people you can call up and gripe about with your property taxes. And let me explain. It will become an offense against the law for them to then, once they appoint somebody, to discuss with, interfere with, communicate with these the board appraisers. So they're involved in appointing them, and that's real important. They can look at their background, see what they are, you know, what they believe, all this stuff. After that, they can't talk to them. They will be a liaison appointed for board members. The executive board, the board of directors will have a liaison to do any discussions with, and it will be actually an offense for them and members of the district, some other people, all that, to try to communicate. So you won't be able to lean on these people. But the difference is it takes a majority of the elected members on the board to get somebody on the appraisal review board. That's where the power is. And the hiring and firing, as I understand it, of the chief appraiser, basically the CEO of the appraisal district. That's what's going on.
He's only silent during the breaks. Pratt's back after this.
The name may be Specialty Trucks of Lubbock, but these guys have repeat customers across the country. Why? Because they save you serious money. Mike Crafton and Jason Duncan specialize in finding and reconditioning quality work trucks, including heavy-duty pickups, utility-bodied trucks, bucket trucks, and more. Specialty Trucks of Lubbock can get you the work truck you need and save you money. You can see inventory online at specialtytrucksoflubbock.com or request them to find the truck you need. Talk to Mike or Jason at specialtytrucksoflubbock.com.
Do you know a veteran in need? Nation's Finest, through the VA's Supportive Services for Veteran Families program, helps veterans and their families struggling with rent, employment, and other housing-related costs. Today, Nation's Finest operates more than 30 locations in California, Arizona, and Nevada, helping thousands of veterans every year. Visit nationsfinest.org or call 1-833-468-9676. That's 1-833-468-9676.
Licensed DACLA 1229 OE.
Heart heating and AC is my choice and the choice of many listeners. One listener wrote saying she wanted me to know what wonderful service they gave. Another told me how impressed she was with Heart's knowledge compared to another firm on whole home humidity control. Heart heating and AC keeps my home and the True Texan studio cool in summer, warm in winter. Take your business to Heart. HeartHeatingandAC.com.
Here's a man who thinks it's wrong not to fly your Texas flag as high as the Stars and Stripes. It's the Lone Star's Voice of Liberty. Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas, my friends. Our Lone Star story of the day is, if illegal immigration in the millions now isn't enough of a problem, Texas Democrats want Texas colleges and universities, that means your money, to hand out, quote, financial aid, end quote, to children of illegals. And I say, what insolent and shameless audacity these Dems demonstrate. The actual word to not have to use insolent and audacity is effrontery, which is how I wrote it originally, and then I realized a lot of people probably don't know that word, but that's why you want to know words, because then you don't have to use as many. It is effrontery. Emily Medeiros has the piece at the Texas Scorecard. A group of Texas Democrats in the U.S. House have called on colleges to set aside financial aid for students who come from illegal immigrant families. So ostensibly, they would be illegals too, unless they were born here. Follows reports of students being unable to fill out the free application for federal student aid because their parents do not have Social Security numbers. Well, good, because a third party is never supposed to profit from the crime of another. Lawmakers led by Jasmine Crockett of Dallas, she's a moron. Greg Kassar, he's an outright communist. I mean, an admirer of Marx from the Austin area, former Austin City Councilman, now a congressman. Lloyd Doggett, an old-fashioned lefty liberal of Austin. Joaquin Castro, another young Marxist out of San Antonio. Colin Allred of Dallas, who's running for Senate, wants everybody's vote for Senate. He's behind this. Veronica Escobar, another left-winger of El Paso, Sylvia Garcia, Al Green, and Sheetal Jackson Lee, all three of which put together probably couldn't pass a test on IQ in the Houston area, and then Mark Veazey of Fort Worth. They want this revamped FAFSA application, financial aid, launched this year. They claim it's prevented parents who don't have a Social Security number from completing their financial information portion of the document. Well, excuse me. The law says students applying for FAFSA must be U.S. citizens or have legal immigration status. However, they write at the scorecard, Emily writes, according to a recent study, One in four children living in Texas, around 1.8 million, live with at least one non-citizen parent. Here's the problem. Millions and millions of these people who have come across are minors. So this isn't a situation where, well, the students in America, you can't claim in any way whatsoever that this is a situation where almost all of these cases, Robert, the parents may be illegal, or but the students are legal as a citizen. No, because we've got millions of these people. So they're throwing a fit. So here's how bad, you know, here's how insolent these Democrats are. Here's the effrontery. The whole country realizes the border is an absolute mess. And even if you stop it today, we're living with, what, 30 million people or something who are here illegally? In other words, even if you stop the illegal immigration across the border, you still got a problem that's going to last generations. And they think that we've got to, colleges ought to be setting aside financial aid for these illegal alien kids. It's sickening. Bob Price at Breitbart reporting, 24 migrants found locked in a trailer at the Texas border. This goes on every day. 24 of them were inside a tractor trailer. They found him at the Falfurrias Border Patrol checkpoint. According to an unofficial Border Patrol report reviewed by Breitbart, Rio Grande Valley sector alone have encountered over 9,000 in March. Now, that's down from 12,000 in February. But it doesn't matter. It's still massive numbers of people. Randy Clark reports 54. This is one sector alone along the U.S.-Mexico border, the Del Rio sector. Border Patrol agents in the Del Rio sector have arrested 54 convicted sex offenders. That means in the United States convicted, who illegally crossed the border between ports of entry just this fiscal year, which means starting in October. Many of them have been apprehended while trying to avoid detection in areas where rising numbers of unaccompanied migrant children are found. Well, of course, they're on a holiday. They're on a play day with all these unaccompanied little children out there. Border Patrol agents are still encountering migrants who seek to escape arrest by traversing desolate ranches. Yeah, because these guys can't surrender themselves to Border Patrol. They're going to go some other way. And some of them have been hidden in big groups, and it just 54 of them in that one sector this fiscal year alone. I guess it's the fiscal year. Yeah, it says fiscal year, going back to October then. According to a source within Border Patrol, the sex offenses include several state crimes the migrants have been convicted of, of which the migrants have been convicted. Those can include convictions for child rape, lewd and lascivious acts with a child, aggravated sexual assault of a child, rape, statutory rape, mother associated sex crimes. Source told Breitbart, Texas, the slowdown in migrant surrenders because of increased law enforcement operations in Mexico helped Border Patrol agents back in the field. We're only picking them up now because this dirty, nasty deal Biden's done with them where they're sending them to other areas now. And that's let Border Patrol agents, more of them back in the field so they can round people up because they haven't even been out interdicting these people for the last year or two. They've been so busy handling these giant groups of people coming over and surrendering. Quote, being out on patrol in these remote ranches gives us some idea of what we have been missing as we have been locked away processing give-ups. It's scary to wonder how many of these criminals managed to get away from us in the last 3 years, the source added. Well, you can bet it's thousands of these types, or much more. Said they worry, these sources in Border Patrol worry about the number of children discovered along the banks of the Rio Grande. They say they're still seeing an increase in unaccompanied minors out there. Of course, they're just immediate targets for these sex predators. 10 suspected illegal migrants busted for child pornography. Uh-huh. This is over near Houston in Chambers County. Fox News reported they were aided. They were from Asia and Guatemala. They were in a stash house. They had a whole bunch of child pornography with them. Cops had to force their entry into the premises because they wouldn't open the door. Even though they had a search warrant, nobody, you know, these people didn't care. So they got in there, found them, and they said they're illegally here and they had child pornography. This is not the way to run a country, my friends. And you certainly aren't looking out for children and the weak amongst us and the little guy and all that stuff when, as Democrats always claim, when you foster this kind of situation. Of course, really, Democrats don't look out for children. I mean, they're the biggest backers of murder of children in the womb. The Texan had a story. Biden weighs shutdown of border, funding Latin American jobs program at Mexico's request. Let me reinterpret that for you. The Biden administration's telling people that they're looking into whether he even has the legal authority to shut down the border. Folks, we don't need to shut down the border. We have thousands, tens of thousands of people cross every day legally working back and forth and in trade. We don't need, when they say shut down, don't kid yourself that's what they're talking about. Because the law already says we already have a border patrol, we have some barriers, we already have an entire federal apparatus to shut down illegal crossing between ports of entry. We don't want to close the ports of entry. But this is the way they play word games. Oh, we're looking, we just don't think we have the legal right, which of course is insane, because that's what the whole purpose of the Border Patrol and everything else is to stop people, arrest them, and then process them and deport them. Now, the second part of that headline, funding Latin American jobs program at Mexico's request. This is Biden's lying to you about whether he has authority to do something or not, or it's he's telling the truth, but you think it means stopping illegal immigration. What he's really just doing is misusing the term shutting down the border. That's what they keep saying. The other part is he's caving to the extortion from Mexico's president AMLO, his big socialist buddy over there. It's the extortion program demanding $10 or $20 billion and stuff, and in return they'll sort of pretend that they're slowing up the people coming through Mexico. This isn't leadership. This is just partners in crime, ladies and gentlemen. It's awful. More in a moment, featuring the lieutenant governor's interim charges.
Don't like the breaks? Some say the breaks are better than Pratt. But then again, those folks don't listen.
My friends at Williams Brake Tune and Tire have been keeping Lubbockites moving with great full vehicle service and fair pricing for over four decades. Over 40 years only happens when you've earned thousands of loyal, satisfied customers by treating them right every time. There's no better place for new tires in Lubbock either. Call Williams Brake Tune and Tire in Lubbock at 747-8863, 747-8863, or find them at williamsbraketuneandtire.net.
Ransomware or a virus can completely shut down your business. But with managed services from Jeff Barker Computer Service, you can have the assurance of the world's best virus protection and do so without bloated software that slows your workstations. Jeff Barker Computer Service keeps your machines protected and is there to help if something goes wrong. Get the best, most efficient virus protection from Jeff Barker Computer Service. Visit jbcs.com, jbcs.com, to learn how Jeff Barker Computer Service can help you.
Judson Edens of Edens Furniture, located at 19th and Avenue N in downtown Lubbock. Home of the Buy One, Get One Free Recliner Special starting at $5.99. Bring your dreams and imagination for your home and we'll take care of the rest with affordable prices and fast delivery. Let our friendly staff help you pick out the furniture that you've been dreaming of. Family owned and operated for 2.5 decades. Come to Edens Furniture, 19th and Avenue N in Lubbock, and check out our website at edensfurniture.com.
Shop with Judson Edens. He's one of us.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's a man so important other talk show hosts listen to his show, even while they're on the air. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick has announced interim charges for the Texas Senate. Now, what that means is we're between sessions, and they have committees that continue to serve as interim, meaning in the term between the official legislative sessions. And the committees meet and they put things together. What this largely does, that the speaker does this for the House too, he'll give charges to his interim committees as he's appointed. The lieutenant governor's doing this for the Senate, which he runs. He's the presides over the Senate. And this, in a very, very big way, sets the stage for what's going to be held in the Senate. You know, what the legislative session is going to look like. Now, Lieutenant Governor said he may release additional but shorter list of interim charges before the session begins in January. That's pretty common, too, to add things. And then, of course, you get the governor's big speech where he announces emergency items early on. The House always just ignores them and does no work for a long, long time and just goes to lobby dinners, I guess. And the Senate's been getting to work on those things right away. So it's basically the interim charges from the leaders of each body and then the governor, once we get in session, that shape a lot of what goes on. certainly it means you have early priorities. The list of charges is pretty wide-ranging from the lieutenant governor. That's not surprising. I've read through them. They're just generalizations. Some really big ones go to higher education, which is certainly needed. I've gone through them. You'll see stories in the next couple of days. It's 14 pages, but remember, it's only like four or five bullet points per page. So you can read these. I'll put a link up to it if I can remember, you know, today. I'll have that in the show summary. But so you can read through these. It won't take that long. Don't be afraid. What? So it's 14 pages. It's not that long in things. But these are committee charges. Some I'm just going to skip them. There's a bunch of things on border security. And a lot of people are already writing columns today after this came out, and they're highlighting things. I'm going to highlight the things that I noticed that they might not notice. Business and Commerce Committee gets a lot of things to the electric grid and things like that, monitoring growth. And then here's a key one all of us appreciate. Addressing the rising cost of insurance. Assess the effect. Everybody misuses that word now. Assess the effect of rising property and casualty insurance costs on Texas property owners, real estate lenders, and commercial and industrial development. Identify ways to increase consumer transparency to better inform coverage decisions and make recommendations to ensure a competitive and affordable insurance market for consumers. Remember, insurance is one of the last of the big things the federal government hasn't totally taken over. The state regulates insurance. That's important to all of us. Under criminal justice, good stuff. The biggest one's looking into this bail reform that's going on everywhere, and I really like this. Examine, quote, charitable bail organizations, end quote. That's these Democrat front groups that have been set up raising money from all the Democrat liberal sources out there and paying bail for people, which, of course, relieves those people of any incentive to show up and appear in court. They don't have anything at stake. That's the whole point of bail. So you get your money back, you know. So you're not left without your money. And he wants to make sure these organizations are accountable and especially when they provide bond for people that reoffend while out on bond. We've seen a lot of that. That's a big point where that's a big battle area on the left with their social justice movement. Under the Education Committee, the regular old biennial testing reform and the STAR test and some other things there, nothing that particularly interesting to me. Under the Finance Committee, continue cutting property taxes. Establish and report on the cost of eliminating school maintenance and operation, M&O property taxes, all school property taxes, and all property taxes. So that's in there, and there's some other things in there, monitoring the last work we did on that. Health and Human Services Committee, bunch of stuff there. It's none of it's particularly of interest right now. Higher education faculty senates review and analyze the structures and governance in higher education, focusing on the role of quote faculty senates and like groups in representing faculty interests to higher education institution administrations. Make recommendations to establish guidelines for the role and representation of faculty by, quote, faculty, senates, and like groups. This is key. Now, they're going to scream bloody murder over this. But what's happened is a lot of the faculty senates out there are dominated by the politically active, which is generally the leftists in the university. I've had friends that served on them, people, and, you know, they just lose interest. These are used to fight for, to advocate for leftist policies and things, and they don't really represent necessarily the will of the faculty. Let's look into this, because they've been a pain in the butt, and I think this is a great idea. Also, monitor the ban on discriminatory DEI policies. My goodness, I just threw away five pages I had in today's stack. I just didn't want to get them about DEI. The press going crazy over UT Austin, now UT Dallas, shutting down these departments and ending jobs. And the left is saying, oh, how terrible. And all the politicians are screaming out the wrong these people are fired. Excuse me. They don't add any value to the institution. They're not teaching anything. They were there to be part of this political indoctrination program. They don't need to be kept on staff. Campus free speech, he's got a deal on there to make sure that they're protecting the First Amendment rights on campus. Local Government Committee, additional property tax relief and reform. In other words, let's keep turning the screws on this. Report on the effects of prior tax and relief and reform, including the homestead exemption that was authorized, much larger and all those things. Looking into extraterritorial jurisdictions more. Secure Texas against squatters. This is a problem everywhere, and we need to update our laws to keep people from just taking over your property. It does happen. It's shocking what happens. Natural Resources and Economic Development Committee. I love this one. Overcoming federal incompetence. Well, there's nothing we can do about that. Protecting local taxpayers and preserving Texas history. That one is really good. By the way, what he's talking about, local taxpayers, review the way these hotel occupancy taxes are being used, the hot taxes, because they're abused like heck. They're abused all over. If it's just going to be a fund that people can then go throw some little party for themselves or their organization for in town and call that, well, that's an official deal because it brings people into town as a festival. Maybe we just need to get rid of the taxes because we all pay them. Preserve Texas history. This is very important about our historic sites and preserving them. Some of them are in bad shape, and, of course, the left just doesn't like them at all. State Affairs Committee, you got a lot on election security there, and a big one down here, banning Delta 8 and 9. Examine the sale of intoxicating hemp products in Texas. Make recommendation to further regulate the sales of these products and suggest legislation to stop retailers who market them to children. I just say ban them all. Get rid of it. Transportation Committee, funding, that kind of thing. Veterans Affairs Committee, there's some stuff there that's important. And there's some other things. Water, ag, and rural, not anything really big except water system viability, reliability out there under that committee that Charles Perry chairs. But it is true. A lot of this stuff's on tax relief and continuing the move forward to changing the state's dependence on a property tax, starting with where the most of it comes from. In the school districts, we did some of that. That's where you got your property tax relief this year. And a lot of other stuff there. It's just the higher education stuff, we need to continue to be on the offense there. And you can read those. Those will shape a lot of what happens in the Senate. Now, time does a lot of other things, too. When new big things come up, sometimes issues really weren't on their radar at this point. And there are some things, and that will come on the radar later, there are some things that I'm disappointed not to see on there, and it's some of these other social things that the lieutenant governor's been very good on, you know, this trans stuff and all that. They like to try to pretend that they've already solved it all and done it all. They haven't. We're in court on a lot of these things, and we need to remain on the offense to protect the children in this state from all of the leftist devils out there. Have a great weekend. Long live liberty. Long live Texas. And may God bless us all. Adios, mis amigos.
Hear all the great Texas music Pratt on Texas is famous for by listening to the show on the air or by stream. 5 to 6 p.m. Central in Lubbock. Tune to 98.7 FM or 1420 AM on KWBF. In Abilene and the Big Country, tune to 96.1 FM Q Country.